Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I sent Richard that song, "Here I Am, Send Me." And, you never know how it's going to go until you actually sing it. So maybe it would have been more helpful if, like, there were more words on the screen, Anyway, I thought it was a really cool song.
Yeah, amen. I love the song.
Amen.
Did you put the words on there?
I did.
That was awesome.
So
yeah.
Y'all have any songs? Say it.
That was a great job, right?
I could add some lyrics.
Come on.
Just think about that in future reference. We're going to be in Exodus 15.
Come on, Chris.
Chris. So really, really excited. But before we get, I even get started explaining, let's go ahead and go to God in prayer. Dear God, thank you that we're able to open the Word today and worship you and just give a powerful lesson. I pray that we can continue to pour one another out. There's so much momentum going on, God. You are totally moving. Amen. And I pray that we can stay faithful.
Amen.
And just obedient to you, Lord. And I'll talk a little bit more about this lesson. So I pray all these things in Jesus and your Son's name. Amen.
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 So, welcome. I know I kind of already said that. But I thought it would be helpful to kind of give a recap of last week's lesson. Those of you, if there's any visitors on Zoom, we're going through the book of Exodus. And last week was chapter 14. This week is chapter 15. And last week, my dad had the honor of giving a lesson on Israel crossing the Red Sea. That's what the chapter was about. They made plenty of movies about it.
Yeah.
Just imagine how cinematic that was. The lesson was cinematic. It was awesome. It was a great lesson. And he just explained how important it was for Jesus to be our mediator, how God was the mediator between the Israelites and the Egyptians, and how we can claim victories in our life if we allow Jesus to be our mediator. And I thought it'd be helpful to kind of give a background of going into Exodus 15, kind of a brief synopsis of what the chapter is about. Here we get to see their response of how just the response of God leading them out of slavery. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see here that they're worshiping, they're singing. But along the way, as we all know, there's going to start to be some struggles. And we're all going to start to struggle with things. And I love what my dad said about communion. In a way, they might start losing their innocence a little bit.
Wow.
You know, mm-hmm. I think that's one reason why we love the story of the Egyptian, of the Israelites, because they are so innocent. They were so innocent for so long, I feel like. I just thought that was a really cool point that my dad made in communion. So, through a lot of just get together with other brothers, we narrowed it down to 2 points in a good title. So, we did a little jumbling around there. But you can go ahead and title this lesson, "Don't Forget, But Remember God Through Obedience." Don't forget, but remember God through obedience. And the first point that I'd like to speak on is remembering the Lord through victories. Remembering the Lord's victories. Because here we're going to see how Israel responds to God giving them a victory, an amazing victory, after being enslaved for hundreds of years. What's their response to God freeing them from being enslaved? So that's what we're going to see here in verses 1 through 21. What is their response, and more importantly, what does that mean for us? How can we implement that? So let's go ahead. We're going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 21. Let's get into this. All right. The Song of Moses and Miriam. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver. He is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned into the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone. Until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by.
Amen.
You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. The place, Lord, you made for your dwelling. The sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with the timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." Wow. So here, what is God showing us here? Well, we see his people praising him because they witnessed an amazing miracle.
Yeah.
An amazing victory against the Egyptians. And a few questions I have for myself, how can I respond like the Israelites have? How can I praise God? How can I call out to God when I've been victorious? And do we recognize when God does claim victories in our life? And maybe we do. But do we also love God when life gets a little hard? When obstacles can kind of swing by? And that's where obedience ties in. But we'll touch up on that a little bit later. And we're going to be referring to some scriptures and Psalms as well, because I think it's so powerful to hear personal examples in the Bible of powerful people. David being one of them, just how he's always calling out to God, whether, you know, he's riding a high or riding a low, he's always calling out to God.
Amen.
So we're going to go ahead and not only talk about David, but also get to know Miriam a little bit here, because she's a very influential character in this chapter and in Exodus. And I mean, I think she definitely sets a great example here in this chapter. So we're going to go ahead and turn to Psalms. We're going to read Psalms 1. And I think it kind of gives a good overview, or relates a lot to the story of Egypt and Israel. All right, Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Kind of sounds like Israel a little bit. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Kind of sounds like Egypt a little bit, right? So here we see a personal example of just David calling out to God. And we also see an example of Miriam calling out to God. What does it say here? Verse 20. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women followed her. They were dancing, singing to the Lord. Isn't that so awesome?
Yeah.
When God gives us victories, the first thing she does, sings to the Lord in praise.
Amen.
And, you know, Miriam sets a great example here, but she wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
There were times where, you know, she disagreed with things or didn't see eye to eye. Moses marrying a Cushite, and she's like, what are you doing? You know, marrying this girl. And God didn't really like her response to that. But here we see that God's still able to use her and just be a very powerful figure for the Israelites. And I find her very attractive in this passage. And like that's, you know, a sister that I think has a lot of good qualities to look for when it comes to, you know, a powerful woman of God.
Amen.
And, you know, as we're reading this second portion here, we're going to see some obstacles start to come. And with those obstacles, the Israelites start to doubt and become forgetful. And that's interesting because they literally sang about how God would take care of them in verse 13. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. So they're singing about this. And then we're going to see here, it's been 3 days, and they're already like, ah, God, you know. I mean, but isn't that so, like, I can totally be that way.
Mm-hmm.
It is so easy for me to do. I do that all the time, and I'm going to share some examples of that here soon. So we're going to go ahead and read the first portion, the last portion here of this chapter, starting in verse 22. So we're going to dive into some examples and psalms. You don't necessarily have to turn there. It's going to be rapid fire. Let's go ahead and read the second portion here. The waters of Marah and Elam. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. What the heck? When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. So we're going to stop there, and we're going to look at some scriptures and psalms, because here we see obstacles. The Israelites are facing some obstacles, and they start to complain. But I want to turn to Psalms, because David faced a lot of obstacles. We all face a lot of obstacles. And I love to see how people in the Bible respond to those. And here we're just going to see David just giving some really encouraging words and how he personally just called out to the Lord. So, in Psalms 25, give me a second to turn there. Psalms 25, In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Psalms 27. Though an army besieged me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. So even when David is going through hard times, he is still confident in the Lord. And here we're seeing that this is maybe a concept that the Israelites are struggling with a little Right. Mm-hmm. And do we ever forget what God has done in our lives? You know, they've just been freed after all these years of slavery, and they're kind of forgetting a little bit here. Do we ever grumble? That's what it says here in the NIV version I have. And how do we respond to those feelings of anger or bitterness, whatever it might be? Because those are natural feelings, but it's how we respond to those feelings.
Right.
That's right.
That I think makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And the Israelites need to understand that their lack of obedience is going to have consequences. So we're going to go ahead and continue reading here. I think I stopped in in the middle of verse 25, so we're going to go ahead and read the rest of this chapter. And just have that point in your head. Remember God through obedience. Remember God through obedience as we're reading and closing out this last portion here. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. But then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. So here we see that God's covenant is conditional, right? He says he's going to take care of them if you obey. And I just think that's a really good point to take here, if you all want to jot down, is remember God through obedience. We need, going back to the first point, to remember the Lord's victories. As we can see, Israel does a great example of setting, worshiping, remembering what God has done. But we also need to remember God through obedience. Mm-hmm. And I just think sometimes if the Israelites were able to just to understand the power of being obedient to God. You know, I have a great example. My dad, work can be stressful sometimes. And I'm sure all you guys can agree to that.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily work right now. I'm not, and life is still stressful. You know? And he's working. And he was unemployed for a time, for about a year, when I was younger. And he said that that's made him a better employee. But the reason he's a better employee, and the reason he's more effective, is because he remembers how hard it was to be unemployed for that year with a family to take care of. And it's the same thing with the Israelites. They need to remember the Lord's victories. They need to remember how hard it was for them to be enslaved and how God has delivered them out of that. And I think this is why prayer is so important. Because if we pray consistently, it'll be easier to witness how and what God is doing in our lives. It's easier to see the net positive of what work God is doing when we pray consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Because prayer allows us to see that net positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have allowed the Israelites to see how far they've come. And I'll give you an example. long story short, I signed up for an internship and the company went out of business.
Oh,
I don't know who knows that, but I'm like, what are you doing looking for an intern? What? You know, I was really struggling because I was really looking forward to getting some hands-on experience in the field that I was in, and the company went out of business. And they didn't even tell me until I reached out to them. Like, what the heck?
Right.
But all is love. I understand, you know, those people have families and lives as well. So I try and not be too harsh. And so I'm praying for this internship. Oh, my God. I have like a week. It's summer. I'm looking. And guess what? Bam. internship, bam, and it's paid. Let's go. You know, God is working.
Amen.
And I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to go to the conference this summer because of my internship. They were talking about, you might have to relocate to Dallas, man. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But they're like, oh wait, no, you don't have to do that. Within like a matter of an hour of the interview. And I'm like, wow, God is answering prayers.
Amen.
And I was praying hardcore about that. Like, I was like, God, and I tell you, that 40 days of prayer book,
yes, it
definitely cements some habits.
Yep.
And those habits definitely carried over.
Yeah.
And it would have been so hard for me to see God working in my life if I didn't pray about those things. Because they might have still happened. I mean, I don't, but it's like, wow, prayer is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is so powerful. And, you know, I keep on talking about we can't forget. We can't forget. Well, that's because ultimately, God won't forget us.
That's right.
And I think a quote that kind of ties in that I've read earlier is, sometimes we need to reflect and know that there is a past version of ourselves that is proud to see how far we've come.
That's right.
Because it's so easy to want to compare yourself to the now, to the present, what's going on now. That's kind of like what the Israelites are doing.
Right.
But I bet if the Israelites, when they were enslaved in Egypt, were able to look into the future and see where they would be, imagine how excited they would have been.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we're going to be free from Egypt in how long? That's amazing. And now they are. But they're complaining.
Right.
They're struggling. And it's like, I understand, like, you know, there's an obstacle here, but come on, where's your faith? And that's why it's so important to remember the victories that the Lord gives us. That's why prayer is so important. And we're going to go ahead and start to close out here. But that's just why it's so important to remember to be obedient. And to remember God.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be difficult. But the good thing about God is that He doesn't break His promises.
That's right.
That's a very, very important thing.
Amen.
Despite the Israelites, you know, riding the highs, riding the lows, and becoming complacent, God is, He's never going to break His promises.
Amen.
And He's always, He will always be with you. He will always be with us as long as we stay obedient to Him.
That's right.
And I just wanted to close out with this last point. Remember God, because He will never forget you. Thank you.
Amen.